listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks each week to help you save money and travel better. I've got a good story to share with you guys with a happy ending in just a moment. But before that, let's talk about what we're going to cover in this week's episode. We've got Leslie back from Trips with Tykes, and we're talking about Hawaii and one of her favorite places to go there, which is the Aielani Resort, a Disney property that's also part of the Disney Vacation Club. We've got Jen back to talk about Southwest and a credit card offer that you should definitely have your eyes on, especially if you're trying to keep your hands on the companion pass for one more year. If you took them up on that offer at the beginning of the year to earn a companion pass with one credit card sign-up bonus at the beginning of 2019. But before we get to that, I would love it if you would subscribe to the show and rate the podcast wherever you're listening, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all that good stuff. And I've got a story to share with you. It might seem a little contrived because it does happen to be our sponsor right now, AutoSlash, but I can assure you I had zero conversations with them about this. This was just something that happened organically on Twitter, of all places. One of my listeners, a woman by the name of Deb Tobias, handled at DebTobias505, tweeted out earlier this week, actually late last week, that her car rental reservation had been canceled. She booked it through Priceline with Sixt Car Rental, and Priceline essentially told her that something happened, there was an error, and that Sixt wasn't honoring the car rental, and that she could book a new one, but at today's rates, which were obviously higher because she was just getting ready to head out on her trip. And she said, well, that's not fair. I made this reservation. I got a confirmation number. And Priceline and Sixt both said, you know, sorry, there's really nothing that we can do to help you here. Well, AutoSlash, which helps you save money on car rentals, was a little part of her process in terms of booking that rental and in terms of helping her find a low price on it. And she'd been tracking the rental. You know, as it turns out, in this back and forth where myself and a number of others were commenting how Priceline and Sixt really needed to step up and make things right for her here, AutoSlash stepped up and said, hey, you know, this customer came to us for help, and we're going to help them, and we're going to make them whole on this reservation. So AutoSlash is making sure that she gets the rate that she was promised for her trip, which I think is awesome. It's a great story of using social media constructively but not destructively to try and get a program to do the right thing for a reservation. In this case, in Deb's case, it wasn't Priceline or Sixt, the folks who really were responsible for the error here in her car rental, that stepped up and fixed it. It was AutoSlash, and it's one of the reasons why I am glad to have them as a sponsor of the podcast. You know, from where I sit, I like to have sponsors, the sponsors I like to have are folks who, you know, products that I recommend to you guys. And there's two reasons why I recommend AutoSlash, and you'll hear this in the commercial later in the episode. But, you know, first and foremost, it's a great place to start your searches that you can help you find the cheapest car rental out there based on whatever discounts you're eligible for. And then once you've booked your car rental, whether it's through them or through someone else, you can go online and you can have them track your rental. And so they'll keep an eye on it until it's time for you to leave, and if they find a lower price for your car rental, they'll notify you, and you can rebook your reservation and save money. That's a pretty cool service from where I sit, and they don't charge anything for it. So they don't charge anything to the consumer, which I love. So definitely something you should fold into your travel hacking kit, if you will, not just because they're a good resource, but apparently based on this example with Deb from this past week, they are a good company in terms of standing behind their customers. And in this case, they stood up for a customer when Priceline and Sixt wouldn't, and I'm really happy to hear that. With all that housekeeping aside and that great story having a happy ending for Deb and didn't start out happy, we're going to step aside real quick for a break. We'll be right back with Leslie to talk about Disney's Aielani Resort in Hawaii. We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. Back on the Miles to Go podcast, and I've got Leslie with me from Trips with Tykes back on the podcast. Hey, Leslie, how you doing today?
Hi there, Ed. Doing great.
So we're going to try and cross a couple of things off the list today, because we're you're going to take Summer's spot for giving me a ration of you know what about not having gone to Hawaii, since she's not here today. And we're going to talk about Hawaii and Disney's Aulani Resort, which I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing correctly because I've never actually listened to somebody pronounce it. But you guys got to spend almost a week there recently with the family, right?
We did. We just got back from spring break. We spent six nights, and you need to get a native Hawaiian speaker on here to say it correctly, but I believe it's Aulani.
Well, since you've been there,
I can't do it justice either. So I try.
Since you've been there, we're going to go with your pronunciation versus mine. And I think the reason why this is significant for family travelers is, you know, first off, it's Hawaii, and that's something that should be on everyone's list, even though for some reason it hasn't come up on mine yet. But the other side of it too is, you know, for folks who live on the West Coast, like Leslie, the benefits of Aulani are being able to get a little bit of a taste of Disney, if you will. The rumor is the service is excellent at the property. So you get the Disney service, you get the Disney characters, and you still get a great Disney vacation. You still get a great vacation. And so that's what we're going to find out today from Leslie, if the vacation really did check off those boxes.
All right. Spoiler alert. It did.
Okay, we're done.
No, stick around. Listen to the rest of it.
All right. So what were your expectations going in?
So I've been to Aulani twice before. And each mm-hmm. time we take an Aulani vacation, we add on an extra day because we think it wasn't enough time. So our first trip was four nights. And that was when I was pregnant with my second child. And then our last trip was actually a press trip put on through Aulani about a year and a half ago, and that was five nights. And then this trip was six nights. So I guess our next trip is going to finally hit that full week mark. But so yeah, I mean, I have pretty high expectations because I've done it before and it has checked all those boxes. And, you know, there were a couple of weak points in previous vacations, and I was really, really pleasantly surprised to find that a lot of those had been patched this trip. So, most notably, I think one of the complaints that I've heard from people with older kids is that the tween and teen program was kind of weak, and Disney clearly had been listening to that. We were going for her 10th birthday, so she technically had become a tween for Disney purposes, and she wasn't quite yet 10, but they let her participate in the tween activities, and those were just fantastic. Every night at Auntie's Beach House, they get a separate room. Auntie's Beach House is the kids' club. Yeah. They get a separate room. They get to have their own activities away from the little kids. And I don't have a teen yet, but I hear too that those activity offerings are much more robust as well.
Yeah, and we're sort of approaching that. Our daughter is about to be a teen, and so we're doing our first Disney cruise, and we're trying to figure out what next steps are. And so I do think it's important for that middle ground, if you will, because we were just at a wedding, and our daughter really felt. It was awkward because there was a table of really young kids, you know, call it 5 to 8. And then there were true like high school senior teenagers. And so between the two, she just really felt left out, and she couldn't associate with either group. One group was talking all about boys and she didn't want to, thank God. And the other group was just, you know, they were playing kids games, and she sort of felt like she was in the middle.
Yeah, it's a tough stage. And at that stage, too, they really want to be with peers. That's the thing I've really noticed coming out in the last year or two with my daughter, is like she just doesn't want to spend time with us. She wants kids her own age. And making sure you get those kids together at these, you know, on a cruise or Aulani or wherever it is, really makes the vacation better for everyone in the family.
Yeah, no, I agree. And so your thought process is, having seen it this time, that the Disney seems to have ramped up the tween activities.
Yes. Every night there's a tween hour in Auntie's Beach House just for them. And our daughter begged to be dropped off every night, even nights where we had dinner as a family. We dropped her off for that tween hour afterwards. So really, really well done by Disney, by Aulani now. And it really changes. We thought this would be our last trip to Aulani for a while. We thought we'd shift most of our non-park Disney travel to Cruise Line, because we thought my daughter might kind of be aging out of Aulani. But this was a game changer for us. We actually are like, okay, let's go next year.
So when you talk about that nighttime drop off as a, you know, as a guy who understands Iolani, looked at pictures, all that stuff, but hasn't been, is there a charge for the nighttime drop off?
No. So Andy's Beach House, if you're familiar, for those who have done Disney Cruise Line, it's the same concept. It's free.
Got it.
Or more accurately, it's included in the cost of your very expensive room. Well, that's one of the reasons I actually tell people, Aulani does not have a nursery like Disney Cruise Line does for kids under three who aren't potty trained. So that's one reason I actually tell families, wait until your kid's three, because you're paying for that childcare, even though you aren't able to use it. So that's something to think about with Aulani. But yeah, it's included in the price. And that's just lovely because the kids do really want to go. And we utilize Auntie's at least several hours every day.
Are there any capacity issues? Or do you have to book it ahead of time?
So they've gotten better with that as well. I mean, there definitely are reviews out there. If you read things on the blogs from a few years ago about people complaining about capacity, they've made some tweaks with how the whole system works. There was one time we noticed a capacity sign on the door, and it maybe lasted an hour. And that's usually because they have a couple of premium experiences. And when those bump up against dinner time, just sometimes there's not quite the people leaving that there are people coming. And that's when they hit capacity. But we were pleasantly surprised. I mean, we were there at peak spring break time. And I had worries about capacity because I had heard about it from other people. I'd even experienced it on my last vacation on Veterans Day weekend. And it was, I mean, it does happen, but it really is pretty easy to avoid, I would say.
So unsurprisingly, you know, Kids Club is a win for you. Let's talk about what else Iolani offers and what you spent time doing while you were there, especially as somebody who's a repeat guest. You know, what did you find were the things that you were drawn to? Did you guys go off property? How much time did you spend on property? That sort of stuff.
Sure. So on our previous two vacations, we had never left the property and we had intended to, and we just found there was so much to do. That's part of the reason we went for a longer trip this time was we actually did want to leave this time and see something of the rest of Oahu. So we did book a car one day. There's an Alamo on site and we booked through Costco to get our discount and to get the extra driver for free. And so we booked Alamo on site, did go off and drive around the North Shore and go to different beaches and food trucks and do some fun activities like that. But the rest of the time we were on property. And on property, I mean, really the highlight for us is all of the pools and the water play areas. There's a lazy river. There are two big water slides. There's I guess best describe it as like a toddler water playground called Menahuni Bridge. It looks like a playground, but then there are, you know, splash pad things and there's, you know, small water slides and water spouts and things like that. That's where my 5-year-old spent almost all of his time, was at Menahuni Bridge. So we really spent a lot of our time around the water. And then there's a beach as well. It's on a lagoon that is very protected. It's actually, I believe a man-made lagoon. And so therefore you can kind of let the toddlers or younger kids wade in and it's not rough. So it was really water for us this time. There's a ton of other activities as well. Because we had been before, we didn't feel the pressure to do as many of them as we had done in the past, because you really can make a full week of it. I mean, I wouldn't recommend going for a day or two. You will feel like you didn't get to experience even a fraction of it.
Well, yeah, especially given the travel time, although I guess you could stay other places on the islands. When you're hanging out either the pools or the beach, is it Hunger Games style for lawn chairs and umbrellas, or are those, you know, evenly distributed even during the spring break season?
On the beach, not at all. The beach, there's ample inventory. The pool, there's definitely a little bit of the Hunger Games. People get up early in part because of the time change. Their bodies are up before the sun, even just coming from California because of the time difference. And they do camp out on the chairs. Disney does its part to try to turn those over. If they see them being unused, they, you know, will take the stuff on the chairs and try to free them up. But there's definitely a little bit of a shortage for the premium spots. But, it wasn't an issue for us. My husband was going down every morning to actually go sign up for dinner at Auntie's Beach House. If you want your kids to have dinner, you need to sign up each morning. So he would go down and sign the kids up for the dinner hour and then just grab a chair. And then we'd come down, 30 minutes later, and it was all good. But yeah, you do have to, if you're going to arrive at 10 a.m., it's going to be full.
And selfishly, since we tend to wake up a little late on vacation, what time was your husband going down to try and grab those chairs and dinner reservations?
Right before 8 a.m. 8 a.m. is when Auntie's opens for the signups for the day. So, and it used to be that people would queue for like an hour for these dinner reservations at Auntie's. And that was a little bit crazy. And the first day we were like, well, you know, we were told it had changed and it wasn't as bad. And so my husband didn't fully believe that. We sent him down at 7:45 and he's like, yeah, I was number two in line. So we quit doing that on day two. We learned our lesson. But yeah, I mean, I promise, coming from the East Coast, you'll be up before 8 o'clock. I promise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. So what do you think about the food, Lonnie? If you're staying there for 6 days, knowing you, I've got to imagine that you feel pretty good about it if you didn't go off site.
Yeah, well, so we've eaten at every restaurant at some point in time. There is a character meal at a restaurant called Makahiki. There's breakfast every morning and dinner 3 nights a week. So we did do a character meal, and I actually prefer the dinner to the breakfast. There's a little bit more of a decadent seafood buffet, and that's more my style. There's a fine dining restaurant, Ama Ama, which I would recommend you getting reservations for in advance. It does fill up for like peak dinner hour when Auntie's Beach House is open for the kids. But most of the time, we were actually eating in the quick service restaurant called Ulu Cafe. It's poolside. You just run in. They have these amazing poke bowls in the afternoons from about 11 to 3. And that's kind of lunch for a lot of people every day. So there are a lot of options. There also is a shopping center actually right across the street that has several restaurants in it. There's a restaurant called Monkey Pod, which is one of our favorites, and then like a tacos and a pizza place for something cheaper. But we, of course, had a studio, so we did breakfast and the occasional lunch in our room because there's a kitchenette in the studio villa.
Yeah, and that is one of the nice things about the property. The rooms start out, they do have some, you know, what I would call standard hotel rooms. I think they refer to them as resort rooms. But similar to, all the other DVC properties, Disney Vacation Club, for folks that aren't nerds like me, they have everything starting from a studio all the way up to a 3-bedroom grand villa, which can be pretty darn pricey. But those rooms do offer, as you said, you know, either kitchenettes or kitchens to help defray some of those costs for folks.
Yeah, I mean, we just much prefer getting up and, you know, sitting in our lanai and, you know, having a cup of coffee out there and, you know, making something quick in the studio kitchenette. And we've stayed before in a 1-bedroom villa, and those do have a full kitchen. So you can, you know, you can make the pot of mac and cheese for the kids on the stove or bake some brownies in the oven or whatever you want to do. So we've done that before as well. But I mean, that really does save a lot of money. But more importantly, it just saves a lot of time because it sometimes is time consuming to eat out 3 meals a day.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, I know there's a variety of restaurants, but if we say, let's throw out the most expensive and let's throw out the quick service, what do you expect a family is going to pay either by person or by total for a day's worth of meals at Aulani if they're staying on site?
Ooh, it really varies. I mean, I think you could easily get away with, if you're in a studio or a 1-bedroom villa and you've got that available to you, I mean, you could do it for under $100 a day. Yeah. No question in my mind. But if you're going to, you know, throw in the character meal and do those bigger experiences, then, you know, plan accordingly. But we actually, I should mention this as well, because this is kind of a highlight of our dining experience. There's a restaurant called the Olelo Room, which is a little bit of a bar, but they have live music and really great appetizers and a super cheap happy hour from 5 to 7. And we made dinner. We had dinner there 2 of the nights, just made a dinner of the appetizers. And
oh, awesome.
I think spent like $40 with like beer for us and drink and food for the two of us. I thought that was like a crazy Disney deal.
Yeah, no, I would agree it is.
Yeah, sitting and listening to live music and, you know, under the open Hawaiian air. And we were like, we're going back to this. This is going to be what we do. We did that on our last night after discovering it halfway through.
Yeah, $40 meal at Disney versus, you know, one plate at Cinderella's Royal Table at Disney World is for dinner is, I think, you know, 65.
Yeah. So we beat that for sure.
So as we wrap up, how far away from the airport is Aulani? How long does it take to get there?
Oh, not far at all. Under a half hour. I mean, obviously there can be sometimes traffic along Oahu, but it's very quick. And I'll throw in a tip for, we actually used Uber XL when we got there because we knew that had been allowed since our last trip, and that cost us about $80. We discovered on the way back that Aulani has a deal with a company called Charlie's Taxi, where they give you a $55 flat rate and they take you in a minivan. So guess what?
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's an Uber XL, isn't it? So yeah. We spent a little too much on the way there, but we saved it on the way back.
And you said that you went for 6 days this time because you didn't feel like you had enough time the times before. You know, have you arrived at that threshold, or do you think the next time you go back, you'll add on even more time?
Yeah, we'll add on even more time because there was so much we didn't even get to do. Yeah, well, because I do want to see more of Oahu. I mean, I think that's something that folks should try to do. And I mean, maybe it makes sense sometimes to split and do 3 or 4 nights at Aulani and 3 or 4 nights somewhere else. But I do want to see more of the island. I still have not yet been to Waikiki Beach myself or Pike Diamond Head. So I will be back.
Is this the sort of trip, I know you said you've been a few times, is this the sort of trip that you guys are doing on a yearly basis at this point? Or are you mixing it up and how often you go?
We, not to Aulani on a yearly basis. We do go to Hawaii, I'd say close to on a yearly basis, but we go all the other islands. So it just is kind of hit or miss as to whether it's going to be Oahu or the Big Island or Maui or something like that.
Yeah. And just to be clear, you know, for folks that are interested in Hawaii, you know, we had Leslie back in late February. You can look for the Ultimate Guide to Hawaii's Big Island to dig in a bit deeper on what her thoughts are there. But do you think, you know, obviously, you know, there's the whole price issue, but do you think that Aulani is the sort of place that you would go back to every year? Or is it sort of like it's an occasional trip for you guys?
I don't think we do it every year just because we do so much other Disney travel that I think we would kind of get Disneyed out doing Aulani for a full week every year. But I mean, I can definitely see us doing, you know, either cruise or Aulani close to every year. I think that's sort of what we're aiming for at this point in our travel lives, because it is, someone mentioned to us while we were there, one of the cast members, that Aulani was designed to be Disney Cruise Line on land. And that is very much how it operates. So those kind of check the same box for me. And we're doing cruise in summer of 2020. So Aulani might be 2021.
Yeah. And for folks who are looking to learn more about the World of Disney Vacation Club, we are going to be doing some segments coming up on DVC points, how to rent them, how to buy them, stuff like that. So stay tuned for that stuff. It can be a great way to save on not just Aulani, but a lot of the Disney resorts. Leslie, thanks a ton for getting us ingrained on why we should be going to Aulani. You know, I can't think of another excuse of why I'm not going, but yet we still don't have that Hawaii trip planned. So I'm hopeful that maybe next year will be the year.
Fingers crossed for you, Ed. Thank you so much for having me.
Tell folks where they can find you when you're not hopping on the podcast with me or making me feel jealous about you getting to spend a week at the one Disney resort I still haven't seen yet.
Certainly. I am at Trips with Tykes, T-Y-K-E-S, everywhere on social media and at tripswithtykes.com.
Thanks a bunch, Leslie. Safe travels. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Ed.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. This week's show is brought to you in part by AutoSlash. AutoSlash does one thing really, really well. They save you money on car rentals, and not just a little bit. They're always free to use, and there's two separate ways that they can help save you money. First off, if you start your booking process at autoslash.com, you'll enter in some key information, you know, Costco membership, AAA, frequent flyer memberships, and they'll take all that information along with searching for any publicly available codes that you might not be aware of, and they'll find the best price for your specific car rental, which you can then go ahead and book. After you've booked, you can enter your car rental reservation into their tracking tool, and it will continue to track whether the price has gone down on your car rental or a new code becomes available that would save you more money. They'll notify you, and you'll be given the chance to rebook that reservation for less money. Even if you don't start the booking process with AutoSlash.com, if you booked it somewhere else, you could take your reservation number, key it into AutoSlash, and they will continue to track that reservation for free and let you know if the price goes down or if there's a discount code maybe you didn't know about, right up until you pick the car up. Tons of different ways to save money with AutoSlash. It's 100% free, always 100% free. Give it a try and drop me an email. Let me know what you think about it. You can find them at autoslash.com. back on the Miles to Go podcast, and we've got Jen back with us from Deals We Like to talk about Southwest, which is one of her favorite topics. And if you guys have been paying attention, you'll know that earlier in the year, Southwest had a pretty juicy offer where you could sign up for one credit card and get their very valuable companion pass benefit, something that Jen's had for how many years now, Jen? 12, 13?
I know last we spoke it was 11, so I'm not sure if I've gone over that 12-year marker or not, but yeah, around that.
You've had your companion pass for about as long as my daughter's been alive, which is which is pretty amusing to me.
And now I feel okay.
We are definitely getting older, no question. I think the thing I really like about this offer is, you know, there were a few people when that offer came out for the companion pass with one credit card that said, hey, you know, if you get this now, you're likely only getting the companion pass for 1 year. It's going to be tougher to get it for 2 years, as is the sort of quote unquote optimal strategy.
Right.
I think the great thing about a 60,000 point bonus is it puts it in play for a lot of folks to be able to extend this to next year.
Absolutely. So when that offer ran earlier this year, you could get the offer right away. It gave you about half the number of bonus points you use towards, you know, free Southwest travel. But the one caveat was that it was only valid until the end of this calendar year. So typically when you earn the Southwest Companion Pass, you earn it for the remainder of the calendar year plus the entire following calendar year. So if you were to earn it like the normal way, that would get it till December 31st, 2020 instead of 2019. So that's, you know, a whole nother year than what the earlier credit card offer gave. So now that there's a 60,000 point offer, if you apply, that will get you 60,000 points closer to the 110,000 points needed. And one thing people really like doing, and the way to get it right off the bat, is to apply for one personal card and one business card. So unfortunately, last year, Southwest Chase changed their rules where you could only have one Southwest personal credit card open at any given time. So it used to be that you could open two Southwest personal cards, 60,000 points each, 120,000 points, wham, bam, Southwest Companion Pass is yours. Now it's a little bit harder since they threw in that business card aspect, and not everyone's eligible for a business card, unfortunately. And you know, you can still get them, but they're harder to get approved.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, the tough part for a lot of folks, if you're not an everyday business traveler like me, is, you know, being able to get to 110,000 points in a calendar year with Southwest to earn the companion pass. And you know, you've got the shopping portal, but you know, some of the more popular ways to get there have been closed. No one called them loopholes per se, but some hotel transfers,
right?
You know, stuff like that just aren't readily available, which, you know, I think makes this consideration even more valuable for just like the everyday family, because, you know, where I see this, and again, every family is different, where I see this is, you know, the typical family is going to take maybe a couple of trips a year. But if you know that one ticket on every one of those trips is going to be free, it becomes easier to plan some of those sporadic trips. And maybe it's, you know, maybe it's not taking the whole family. Maybe you're taking one kid with you because the kid's traveling for free to go take an extra visit to grandma or something like that. And that's where I think, you know, strategically applying for the right credit card. I think this is a great example of how a family can use this to leverage free travel for another year.
Exactly. So, and if you did take advantage of that credit card offer that they had earlier this year, that did give you the 30,000 points, I believe, off the top of my head. And then if you add that to, you know, your normal everyday spending or meeting that minimum spend that was needed, on top of getting a new credit card, combining those points actually now makes it more obtainable. So you might have gotten one credit card, let's call it 5 months ago. Now you can get another credit card within the Southwest family. And now you're actually one step closer. So you already have it through 2019. Now you can carry it over to 2020. So even if you have the Southwest credit card, Southwest Companion Pass now, you can then continue to extend it.
Yeah, and I think the minimum spend offers on these, on the current offers are pretty darn reasonable with
You know,
$2,000 for three of the four cards and $3,000 for the fourth. I think those are all pretty reasonable when you start adding up family expenses to hit that pretty quickly.
Very reasonable, very obtainable. Definitely on the lower end of many of the other credit cards out there. I know past offers with this, they've been tiered offers and you really had to spend like $5,000 or $6,000 to get the full number of points. So this is actually really great, really good. But if right now is not the right time for you to be flying Southwest, you might actually want to hold off until the end of this year and save it until 2020, 2021. The only problem with that is we don't know what the credit card offers will be. But if history kind of repeats itself, we should see the same 60,000 point offer later this year. So this is by no means a, you know, act right now or else you'll never see it again opportunity, but just plan accordingly for what works with your family travel and just your life travel.
Yep, plan accordingly is absolutely right. Make sure you know that you're picking these cards up at the time that's right for you and your family. Jen, thanks a bunch for being on. Tell folks where they can find you when you're not on the podcast with me.
Sure, thanks, Ed, for having me. You can find me at my blog, dealsvlog.com, and then also any social media avenues, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, anything at dealsvlog.
Thanks so much, Jim. We'll talk to you soon. Safe travels.
Thanks, you too.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. Back to wrap up this week's show with the final two pennies. And if you listened at the start of the show, you heard our story about Deb, who had a car rental reservation canceled by Priceline and Sixt, and AutoSlash came in to save the day. So the story has a happy ending. She will have the car rental that she thought she was going to have at the price she was going to have for her vacation. But it's a really good reminder to make sure that you're feeding and watering your reservations. I bring this up frequently on my blog, Pizza in Motion, and I think it's a good time to bring it up here for you guys. Whenever you're planning a trip, whether it's your airline tickets, your hotels, car rental, even if you have, say, show tickets or some other sort of appointment-based planning when you're on your trip, you want to make sure you keep an eye on those. You know, you never know when you're going to have a schedule change with an airline or potentially, you know, something goes wrong with a hotel. Frequently when you're talking about booking partner flights, those can get complicated. Sometimes they can take days or weeks to ticket. But the big thing here is that if you wait until the last minute when it's time to check in for that airline reservation, or you're shuffling all your papers and stuffing them in your backpack on your way out the door, you've run out of ways that you can solve your own problem. And if you start early, you can fix it early. We have a family trip coming up to Australia, and it was affected by United's change on one of their routes. They were reducing the frequency of one of their flights to Sydney, and we were on one of the days that they were discontinuing service, and so they moved us to an itinerary that was completely crazy, just something that wasn't going to work for us. And so it took some time on the phone with the agents, but because I put in the time and I've been watching the reservation, I was able to catch it very early as opposed to the last minute. And that's the key here, is to make sure that we're, like I said, feeding and watering your reservations. Make sure they still look the same way that you expect them to look as you continue through the process. Not something you need to do every day or even probably every week, but maybe once a month or once a quarter, depending how far out you're planning, just take a peek and make sure everything still looks okay. With that, that's a full wrap for this week's episode. Big thanks to Jen and Leslie for helping make it a great episode. Thanks to Mike, our producer, for cranking out great audio. We'll have more great stuff for you guys this time next week. But until we upload again, we've got miles to go.